So my view is very simple. Tokenized stocks are blockchain native representations of real world equities, where each token is legally tied to a share in a company.
You know, it's just a representation of a current existing equity market that's already there. The trading volume, the amount of market cap for these things, the number of users and holders, it's all very tiny. It's basically non-existent.
On this episode of Early Bird, tokenized stocks, one of the biggest investing buzzwords of 2025. What are tokenized stocks? And what are the pros and cons of using tokenized stocks for investing? Joining us today on the podcast to discuss these topics are Mitch DiRamondo, founder of Steelwave Digital, Chris Yin, CEO and founder of Plume, and Mark Vandenberg, the Chief Strategy and Marketing Officer at the Algorand Foundation. If you're an investor looking to stay on top of the latest market trends, then you're listening to the right podcast. This is Early Bird, and I'm your host, Stephen Lerner. Before we get through today's discussion, let me tell you how you can save time and beat the market through Early Bird, a free daily email newsletter featuring commentary about the latest trends in stocks, cryptocurrency, and equity crowdfunding. Early Bird is designed to help individual and non-professional investors stay on top of all of the critical investing trends. The newsletter is 100% free and is sent to your email box each weekday morning. Subscribe to Early Bird for free at www.earlybird.email. Once again, that's earlybird.email. And now, today's discussion. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Early Bird podcast. My name is Stephen Lerner, and we have a wonderful show for you today. We are going to be talking about one of the biggest, hottest trends in investing so far in 2025, tokenized stocks. We'll learn about what tokenized stocks are, how they became so big this year, what are the advantages and disadvantages of tokenized stocks, and how to get started with them. Before we get started, let's talk a little bit about what tokenized stocks are. I'm going to ask each of my three panelists if they could, in maybe 30 seconds or less, if somebody approached you on the street and asked you, what are tokenized stocks? What would you explain to them? How would you tell them what it is in 30 seconds or less? Chris, I'll start with you. Someone comes up to you on the street, 30 seconds or less. What are tokenized stocks?
Well, the stocks, look, are a share of a company. Right. Today, you can only buy stocks on certain exchanges and in different places in the U.S. Often it's the New York Stock Exchange or NASDAQ or wherever. Right. Now, tokenized stocks should be able to take those equities and put them onto a public blockchain, maybe a private blockchain, put them onto a blockchain so they're accessible outside of that particular exchange. They're kind of free floating. And then, of course, you can put it into exchange on the blockchain or whatever, but it's just to remove it from the confines of a regulated exchange and put it onto a blockchain, which then can be used and accessible across all kinds of different things. So. That's what tokenized stock is.
Ooh, good explanation. Good overview. Mark, someone comes up to you on the street, tokenized stocks. If they had other questions, what are they? What would you say?
So my view is very simple. Tokenized stocks are blockchain native representations of real world equities, where each token is legally tied to a share in a company.
Interesting. Good. Thank you for the overview. And last but not least, Mitch, someone comes up to you on the street and asks, what are tokenized stocks? What would you tell them in 30 seconds or less?
Look, I think, representation is a good word for it. I think in a lot of ways, tokenized stocks are kind of wrapping a equity in a new structure and offering it in a new way. I think it's a good introduction to the space for people coming into it. But you know, it's just a representation of a current existing equity market that's already there.
You're absolutely correct. So just as a quick overview for the audience, tokenized stocks are digital representations of traditional equities such as Apple stock, Tesla stock, Nvidia stock. Those are issued and traded as tokens on a blockchain. Each token is backed one-to-one by the actual underlying share, or in some cases, it's synthetically designed to track the price of that share. These tokens can be bought, sold, and transferred similar to cryptocurrencies. And in some cases, they may feature fractional ownerships and 24/7 trading options as well. They have grown in popularity this year. The idea of tokenized tradable assets is not new, of course, but the idea of it moving to equities and stocks, that has certainly become more popular this year. pose this question to anybody on the panel. Why do you think tokenized stocks are having such a big moment in 2025? What has made them so popular this year? Why is everybody talking about them? Open this question up to anybody to answer on the panel.
Yeah, look, I'm curious what Mitch and Mark have to say about this as well. I would say this. Look, I think tokenized equities and tokenized stocks are having a moment right now for one reason only, because Larry Fink decided to say he thought tokenized stocks were the next thing that were coming out, right? Because if you look at the actual fundamentals on tokenized equities, the volume, the trading volume, the amount of market cap for these things, the number of users and holders, is all very tiny. It's basically non-existent. Right. And so I think it's mostly nonsense is the honest answer, right? It doesn't mean it's bad. I think it's actually great. I think it's a very good thing overall. I think it's mostly a sequencing question of is it the right time for this in this market, right? And I think if you look at the stats and numbers, the answer is no. So I think it's a bit of a forced narrative, right? It's conceptually makes sense, right? If you can now trade equities anywhere in the world, all over the places that are being regulated to one thing, you can torment them. All great things. People like those words and they make sense. And I think they're good overall. But the question is anyone using it right now? The answer is still no.
So to follow up, I'm sorry.
That's perfectly said. I couldn't agree more here on what you just said. I think it's a good introduction to the space, right? I mean, the biggest unlock here and what people will see is once you can actually do a primary issuance, right? Once you can do a primary issuance and the volume comes up, all of a sudden, you know, capital's unlocked from the sidelines here. I think in a lot of ways, this is a good introduction to the space. I think there's a lot of hype around it, especially with all the regulation coming in right now. You know, it's the talk of every politician. I think you're seeing capital flow in. Now, it needs sticky places to stay, right? And I think you're going to start to see innovation come in for some of these primary issuances. Now, as, you know, familiarity comes into the space, people can wrap their head around these simple equities. I think the next step is private, you know, private locked up capital, you know, commercial real estate, VC, PE, stuff like that. That's where it's going to go. Okay, now it's a primary issuance that's interesting. Now, all of a sudden, you know, this isn't something I can just go buy on any other exchange. It's something that not a lot of people get access to. And this has kind of unlocked that. And I think that's where this is leading. I think this is a good stepping stone for it. But again, it's just a wrapper, a digital representation of something that's already there.
Good point.
Yeah. I think tokenizing stocks is becoming a hot area because anything tokenization is hot. And so stocks is basically becoming the next kind of frontier in the tokenization movement. And so it all started, like, I'm looking at this from, like, as a layer one blockchain. Like, we see tokenization on Algorand as being a core use case. Like, we see tokenization of real estate with a company like Lofty fractionalizing real estate where anybody can buy for $50, like a fractional ownership of a house. We see tokenization of solar panels where people can actually buy virtual solar panels and then get the electricity benefits of buying them. We see tokenization of commodities. We see tokenization of money markets, of treasuries. And so all of these things are taking off on chain right now. And so the next frontier in this tokenization movement, obviously, is tokenization of equities. And, you know, on our grant, we actually had the first tokenized stock ever, like Exodus, like the big crypto company Exodus, has its stock tokenized on Algorand, where every share of Exodus is a full legal representation of a share that's traded on New York Stock Exchange, one for one. And so it is the next thing. It is the next frontier. Of course, there's lots of questions around this. There's lots of regulatory issues that still have to be figured out. So lots of, like, the market is not there yet, I would say. But I think it's the next natural evolution of the tokenization revolution, in my view.
It's a good way to put it.
Well, first of all, I'm a big fan of Algorand.
Chris,
go ahead, please.
I had a follow-up, actually, real quick.
Please go.
So you wrote, or at least you were quoted in an article on the Block saying that demand for tokenized private equity is not quite there yet. Does that also extend to traditional equities that are tokenized as well, or are you just talking about private equity being tokenized?
It's both, truthfully, right? The private equity thing, I think, has more legs, likely, than the public equities right now, right? Just because, I think, look, I run a company called Plume, right? And we also, you know, we build a blockchain-specific design for RWAs, right? So we have a full-stack ecosystem. It's tokenization engine, it's community, it's ecosystem, it's all these things. There are 200 products building on us, all around tokenization RWAs, right? So we are very big believers, and I think, for what it's worth, all these things are very positive for this entire space. So I'm not a negative person at all about any of this stuff, right? Now, the reason I say around tokenized equities and private equities is I think we've been talking about tokenization for 10 years. It was in the ETH white paper, it was in the Bitcoin white paper, right? About fractional, about bringing real things on chain representations of it, right? And so this is not a new idea, right? We've been trying this for a long time. Every cycle we try it and it fails, right? And the reason and the question is, why has it failed before? What is different this time, right? And if you look at it, right, last cycle, right, it was all the rage to talk about, let's take art, let's fractionalize, let's do real estate, let's fractionalize, all these things, fractionalize them and put them on chain and everything. It's a real thing. There are very real benefits. Don't get me wrong. I'm obviously a full believer. We built our whole company around this idea. But I think to Mitch's point, it's about sequencing, it's about demand. It's about how do you find value? Because going through the process of tokenization is a whole thing. It's very, anyone who's done it knows it's expensive, it's slow, it's painful, right? And it sucks. So the value on their side has to be worth it. Right, it has to be there. So you have to find outsized demand to make it work. Right, as a very simple example, the only RWA that has ever worked, right, even to this day, is a stablecoin. Right, you have other things that begin to look like they have some legs, maybe tokenized T bills or whatever. Right, but still, the volume and the traction, the market cap is completely dwarfed by RWAs by stablecoins. Right, excuse me. So if you look at the stablecoin, right, the stablecoin is a good example because it shows you, right, what demand actually looks like, right? The biggest stablecoin in the world is Tether, right, USDT, mm-hmm, right? Yeah. The knock on Tether for years was that we had no idea what was under the hood. We didn't know if there was dollars there, we didn't know what was going on, right? But the just the idea that there might be US dollars under the hood there being represented was enough to attract hundreds of billions of dollars to that asset.
That is a good point. Right? That's what it needed, for sure. You look
correct.
At
and so
sorry, go on.
So if you look at equities, you look at these things, you know, the largest equity product right now on chain, I think, has $8 million. Right? Maybe 15, maybe 20, maybe like, it's just not even remotely in the same league, right? And so that's my comment on this. When there is demand, demand finds a way to get their hands on this product, even if the product is not very good, yeah. Right? Even if the product is just a dream and a figment of imagination, and you hope it represents that asset, you begin to see. So then if you can deliver the real product, it starts to really pick up. That's why stablecoins now are having such a big month, because it's very clear there's demand there. People want it in so many ways that they'll try whatever they can to get their hands on it, right? Versus other things out there, we don't quite yet see that demand yet for these things. Doesn't mean it won't come. It just means the market's still developing. And so is it going to come? Absolutely. I'm a big believer. But being early is the same as being wrong. So I think we have a lot of time still left. And I think if you look today, it's more about asset-backed securities, it's more about yield-bearing assets, more about fixed income. I think that's where things, you can see the money flowing, you see the volume going into, you can see what people are actually trying to get their hands on.
I see. Demand, we have to certainly look at it. You're right. Let's take a look at some of the benefits of tokenized stocks. Real quick, and I'll open this up to anybody to answer. What are some of the benefits, the advantages to owning tokenized stocks today?
Well, maybe I'll start. I think there's a couple of advantages, right? First of all, if you think about the stock market is closed 81% of the time, yes. Right? So that's crazy. Like, that's just crazy. And so the idea that the tokenized stocks, of course, will be able to trade 24/7, right? Which is the way it's supposed to be. It's a global market that's trading 24/7. So that's one thing. Second thing is just access to the stocks or access to capital. If you look at this from the stock issuer perspective, right? Like I used to live in Belgium. I live in the US now. If I like when I was growing up in Belgium, like trying to just buy a US stock was not that easy. And it's like the most sophisticated market in the world, and like from a European country, I think things have changed somewhat, but in many countries there's still quite a bit of restrictions, even if you want to buy, you know, like very well-known respective stocks. Your banker may say, like, why do you want to do that? And like, oh, that's too risky, I wouldn't go do that. And so it's silly, right? And so being able to tokenize stocks will basically open up that market so anybody can actually go buy these stocks anywhere in the world. So and the reverse is also true for the stock issuer. Now they can basically tap into capital from all over the world. So I think that's the second key benefit in my view. And then there's other things. You could represent stocks in the right way. So you could kind of in smart contracts, like organize how dividends are basically managed and paid out. You can create on-chain governance systems so that stakeholders can vote in interesting ways using on-chain governance. So there's a whole series of advantages like that as well. But I think the main one to me is the 24/7 trading ability and the ability to have access to capital and access to stocks. globally.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely an advantage when you look at tokenized stocks and what they represent. Let's look at the flip side. What are some of the negatives associated with tokenized stocks? You know, no investment product is perfect. There's going to be flaws, but I'll open this up to anybody on the panel. What are some of the negatives you see it with tokenized stocks?
I mean, from our side, I think they're not so much negatives. It's more so, you know, this is a good dip of the toe into the water, right? Like, this is the space kind of coming on chain. We're starting to wrap our head around this stuff. You know, I think the next thing is going to be stable coins and yield. And then, you know, I think once you crack, you know, debt offerings coming into stable coins, stuff like that, that's where it starts to get interesting. But again, this is where people can start to like wrap their head around it, understand the regulation behind it, and start to, you know, craft the market narrative around it. I think, again, the global access is big. I think that's huge. But again, you're adding a layer of, you know, you're putting it on chain. What chain is it? I think going through the whole tokenization process, it is a massive pain. It's expensive. It takes a while. You have to go through jurisdictions. It's a huge thing. So, I mean, if you're going through that, there pretty much needs to be a demand for it. And I think the product backing that is the most important thing, right? So simple equities are great. Everyone can underwrite them. But, you know, it needs institutional grade investment opportunity in the space to actually start to bring in some of that volume, right? You know, 8 to 10 million bucks in volume does not draw institutional attention. That the institutions are the one that kind of come in and build the rails. And I think the retail are the one that come in and kind of benefit off of those rails being built. And I think that's kind of where we are right now.
Okay, good point.
Yeah, Greg, maybe to add to what Mitch is saying, and not to be super negative about everything, because I'm actually very bullish on the whole thing. And I'm, you know, we built a chain for RWAs, and so I'm actually incredibly positive on everything that's happening here. But I do think it's easy for people to get sort of to just mix a bunch of things up and sort of, you know, then when inevitably things disappoint, they kind of point to the wrong thing. So just want to create a clear path forward, right? So look, I think actually 99% of things that come on chain are actually worse than the on-chain version is the reality. You know, if you just look at a version of a T-bill as a simple example, you can go to Fidelity or your brokers today and buy treasuries right now, right? And you're probably going to pay, I think, what's the rate now? 4.6 or something like that, right? So you're going to get 4.6%, right? It's FDIC insured, right? It's held in a place that's very, very safe, secure. It's not going away, right? Mm-hmm. The amount of money that's been lost by holding T-bills is zero, right? Now, if you bring this on chain, two things immediately get worse. Number one, now you're taking smart contract risk, right? Because one, someone can hack this and lose. And the amount of money lost to smart contracts happens all the time from great people and like very secure things. That's just a thing, right? Number two, you're trusting the custodian holding that asset that they're not going to screw you, right? Because they could just take the thing and run away. You have no idea, right? Third, you have regulatory risk. There's a risk that it's actually not allowed. So there's no benefit to it at all. And then lastly, right, the person that's actually bringing this to chain is inevitably taking a fee from this. So now you're paying more for this asset than you were just buying on off-chain. So it's worse across almost every dimension, right? Now, why do you even do this? But because the stuff that Mark said, right? On the other side, if there's real demand, if there's a new market to it, there's new ways to use it, and the product changes in a way. So sure, the A to B, the sort of like on-chain, off-chain conversion is not good, but if you can pick an on-chain and it changes the nature of that asset, meaning now you can fractionalize, you can put it as a collateral, you can use it in different ways, you can reach new audiences, right, in new markets, then it becomes better and it becomes tolerable and acceptable for that reason too. So, but that's the hurdle to overcome. That's why the bar is so high to make sure that you can token with anything. But it's got to be so significant, there's be such strong demand on the other side to overcome the negatives of bringing something on-chain that to make this thing worth it.
These are great points. These are definitely cautions that people should be aware of with tokenized stocks.
If I may add a point, I completely agree with what Chris is saying. And actually, what you see, like the initial efforts to tokenize anything, specifically money market instruments, the reason why they were launched is not necessarily because the on-chain version was so much better. It was because those institutions saw money sitting there that they wanted to grab and they wanted to kind of have them invest in their instruments. Mm. That's what happened. So the institutions went after the money that lived on chain. Right, and that's what drove the initial tokenization effort. It was not the product innovation piece. It was the availability availability of liquidity in those markets that they want to tap into. Yes. And so for tokenization to really, really work, the product, to Chris's point, has to be better than the off-chain product, right? And so we start seeing that happening in certain areas. I mentioned the real estate tokenization thing. Yes. If you're a real estate investor, if you want to buy a house, the hurdles you have to jump through to buy a house are crazy, crazy. And the cost is insane. If you can now just click a button and buy a portion of a house for $50 and you get your rent paid on a daily basis, yes, and you can still vote in the property, now you have a product that can only live on chain and that is much better on chain than it is off chain. So that product would be successful for that reason, right? And I think the same is true for other tokenization products. The tokenized product has to be better than the non-tokenized product. And that's what's going to drive demand.
You're right.
I would like to add to that. It's like, you know, if an institution can go get exposure to something without having to go through these rails, they're going to do it 10 times out of 10 because of all the negatives Chris brought up. I mean, we see it on the real estate side of it all the time. But if it's an investment opportunity that they previously couldn't get access to, right? And this is like, okay, this is their way to do it. That's where you start to get their attention. And I think that's where this market's missing. It's like, look, you need product in there that, you know, people really want. There's a high demand for, right? Like, you know, single family homes in the Midwest, mm-hmm, probably not going to draw that much attention, right? Versus, you know, Anduril campus in Orange County. Like that, there's a big difference in product type there that draws the institutional awareness into it.
Interesting. Fully. So we brought up some really good points about the pros and cons about tokenized stocks, as well as alternatives out there that investors should consider. Obviously, investors, we always say, should speak to a professional out there before making major investment decisions. But my final question today, and it's a two-part question for each of you, and we'll go around real quick. If investors want to get started with tokenized stocks, how should they go about it? And what's an alternative if they should not do tokenized stocks and do something else? Just 30 seconds. How should they get started, and what's an alternative? Chris, I'll start with you.
Totally. There are many places to get tokenized. I think the number one question is, are you in a jurisdiction that allows it, first of all? And so if you live in the US, you can get equities through the normal channels, right? And you should probably stick to that, right? If you're outside the US, you want access to these things, there are many places to go, right? And there are many good ones. You can come to Plume as an example, right? We have plenty of tokenized equities. We work with a bunch of the best partners out there. Many of the new exchanges, as a simple example, right? So maybe it's Kraken, maybe it's Bybit, all of these others are now also offering tokenized equities on their platforms too. So if you register in KYC and get on their exchange, now you can trade those equities on those platforms as well, right? As well as other places. You look at places like, to Solana or other places like that. So different blockchains, I'm sure, Algorand, right? And yeah, other ones as well, right? There's tokenized equities out there. So it sounds like, so if you want to get access to certain equities, you can either do the off-chain version, go to an exchange, right, and register for those different ways because they have access to those products, or you can go into the on-chain world, which is going to a blockchain, right? Like, yes, Plume, like Algorand, like Solana, like wherever it might be, and access those products there. It depends on which ones they offer and all that. So that's kind of what you would do if you wanted to get access to tokenized equities on-chain. Yes. I think the second thing that you'd ask is, you know, if you don't want to, or what are the alternatives?
Real quick,
to this, right?
Yeah.
The alternatives are simple, right? The question is, why would you hold equities, right? If you have belief in that category or sector, right, then you probably want exposure to that thing, right? So usually it's either a question of yield or exposure, right? If you want yield and you want to make some money, right, there are many fixed income products and all kinds of things that we have on Plume and other blockchains that are a good place to go. We can get 10, 15, 20, 30% APYs on these things. That's, in many cases, better. If you want exposure to that sector, there may be other ways. So, example, if you want to buy NVIDIA because you believe in the AI world, yeah, right, and you want to go in that world, then you can get access to, you know, for example, a tokenized version of a GPU, right, yeah, and get exposure that way as well.
That's a great example.
Those are the ways.
Mark, real quick, if someone wants to get started, where should they check out for tokenized stocks? And then if there's an alternative out there, name an alternative to tokenized stocks.
Yeah, I don't have much to add to what Chris is saying. He's completely right on this. Like, so Algorand has tokenized stocks. Like, as I mentioned earlier, Exodus was the first stock that was ever tokenized on any blockchain. I think I would just say, like, be careful with the synthetic tokenized stocks. Like, mm-hmm, to me, there's a lot of regulatory uncertainty around those. There was just an SEC recommendation that came out that says, don't forget, a tokenized stock is still a stock. It's still a security. So it needs to kind of adhere to all of the security regulations. So there's quite a bit of regulation uncertainty around, yes, these kind of synthetic offerings. So I would be careful about that. if not tokenized stocks, I would, like we said, look at other investment opportunities that are tokenized, like money markets, funds, treasuries. We have a whole series of those, real estate, et cetera, et cetera. Many, many tokenized opportunities out there.
Good suggestions. And Mitch, last but not least, someone wants to get started, where should they check out? Or if there's an alternative, you can name one alternative. Feel free, about 30 seconds. Mitch.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we're kind of in this market cycle where you can almost play a pick and shovel here, right? Where you're like, okay, you see that, you know, assets are coming on chain. You know, if you don't want to just go buy equities because of the risk around it, you know, start to play with the groups that are actually getting those assets on chain. And I think that's where we kind of are. At least that's where we're looking at investing. We're playing into that and going, look, the ones that are going to win are the ones that are bringing quality product onto market. And a lot are happening behind the scenes. So that's where we would play, and I would look at investing.
Thank you again to Mitch DiRamondo, Chris Yin, and Mark Vandenberg for sharing your insights on tokenized stocks. And thank you to everyone for listening to today's discussion. We'll be back next week for another episode of Early Bird. Have a great day.